Mr. Bird, Reel 5. Now, we've got to the point where you'd been pulled out of the water, presumably by this officer, and you'd found yourself on board the Hesperus, and you'd just come round again then, and the last thing you remembered was being cut out of your gear. Well, how did they treat you? Because you must have been very cold and in a bad way.
Yeah, I was very cold, but I can't describe how cold I was. I know I was cold for several hours after that. I just couldn't get warm, you know. But getting back to the officer, I was told afterwards by one of the crew of the Hesperus that the officer that went over the side for me and pulled me out was he was titled, but I got it in the back of my mind he was a baronet or something. But I can definitely remember that he was a titled man.
So what's the next thing you remember when you got on deck?
The next thing Sorry.
Yeah, how did they bring you round, you know?
I just come round as far as I know. I don't know anything other than that. I can't even remember being shifted from the deck. All I can remember was being wrapped in this blanket, or a blanket wrapped round me. The next thing I remember, I was sitting in a mess deck with all my shipmates. We got a tot of rum. And I mean, that for a UA was some going.
A UA?
Yeah, underage.
Underage, yeah. Yeah. And how did you feel? I mean, what mental state were you in as well? I mean, you were cold and the rest of it.
Yeah.
Were you suffering from shock?
No. No, I don't recollect any. I was worried when we were going underneath the bows of the Bullen when she came down and with the tide or with the sea. But that's the only time I can recall any actual fear. Whether I was frightened, I don't know, but I don't recall it. I think after we'd settled down on the Hesperus in the mess deck or wherever it was, it was one of elation, you know, that you were saved. And I think it didn't really hit me until I got home a day or so later.
Well, let's go through the journey back then. How did you get back? What do you remember of?
I don't remember what the Hesperus brought us back, but I don't know whether we came into Scapa or we came into Thurso. I know we caught the train from Thurso after when we came off the Hesperus, and I can't remember this, but we went on to a depot ship, and I do recall walking in through the depot ship, and we were wrapped up in these blankets. We were covered in fuel oil. Incidentally, they did try to rub a lot of the fuel oil off us, and I remember that.
How did they do that?
With cotton waste. They just rubbed it off, you know, as much
what
as
what was
they
it
could.
Like, the fuel oil in the water? You haven't mentioned that before.
No, I don't remember having seen any fuel oil. But, I mean, we were all covered in it. It was absolutely grind into your body, you know, where there was a crack in the not in the skin, but where there was a line or anything in the skin, so it was it had fuel oil there, you know. But on the on this depot ship, I remember we were walking between decks, and they had lines and lines of wooden coffins down one side of that's something that's stuck in my mind as well.
Was that for the people who drowned?
I don't know. I don't know. I should imagine it's just for emergencies. I can't remember, and I mean, this is only how many actually were lost on the Bullen. I thought it was about 60. There was about 90 saved, something like that. But there again, I don't. It's all hearsay.
I think that's about right. Yes.
Mm.
Now, so what happened from this depot ship?
Well, we had baths, most of us, anyway. There was one chap that didn't. I think he'd been torpedoed several times before. Actually, he was getting on, so far as I was concerned, at my young age. But we were able to get a bath, and we were rigged out with clothes. Not the full uniform, but I can't remember, once again. I seem to remember we were given underclothes, trousers and a jumper. And I think we had a given a hat, and we got on the somehow we got onto the train. There again, I can't remember what happened when we came off the depot ship. But it's just a heck of a long way back.
And you're going back to Chatham with you?
Yes, yeah. And I do remember we went past a station on our way down. And this is something else that's stuck in my memory. There was all of us on the on this train, and the train stopped in a station. And on the platform across the way, there were dozens of German officers, captured German officers. And my God, did we give them a rough time of it. Mind you, they took not a blind bit of notice. But I do remember there was a lot of shouting and yelling at them, you know. I suppose... Well, it's only naturally going to venture feelings against somebody.
Had you lost any special friends, or were you aware of whether you'd lost friends at that time?
No, no. I've got it in the back of my mind that certain of the ratings were from Pompey, Portsmouth. I don't know. I can't remember now. I seem to remember that the chap that, what was his name, Bolton, my opposite number on the radar was Bolton. I'm sure that's who it was, but I don't. I can't even remember now. The chaps that went to Chatham.
So what happened when you got to Chatham?
I can't remember. I know that it was... although I remember we were properly rigged out, re-kitted, and we were walking across the parade ground with one of our officers. I've got an idea it was number one that was with us. And a barrack guard started going spare and yelling like the clappers because we were walking across the parade ground. That was something you never did. You always had to trot across the parade ground at Chatham. Whether they did in Pompey, I don't know, but in Chatham you did, and there were always guards to make sure you did the right things there. But I remember the officer that was with us. He laced this bloke right, left and centre, and he explained, you know, that we were all survivors, and that's just one little thing.
Were you treated specially, do you think, as survivors?
Yes.
In what way, besides that?
Well, there wasn't the... In barracks, there's always... You're always looking over your shoulder in case you're doing something wrong. I always got that impression in Chatham. But this particular time, there was none of that. We just sauntered along. We got re-kitted out. And I know some of the kit, that they'd given me a blanket and things that were all marked with somebody else's name, but I don't know who it was. The same with my hammock. That was had someone's name printed on it, but we were all re-kitted, and then we were given rail passes, and we went home.
Now, did you have any after effects, you know, when you got home and you were finally safe? Some people have sort of nerve.
I did. My mother wasn't in when I got home, and I went next door, and because my mother had a telegram, and she knew that something was wrong because it was signed William. Evidently, on the depot ship, everybody all the survivors had telegrams sent home to their parents or loved ones or what have you, and mine was signed with my full name, William, and my mother knew that it wasn't from me. I don't know whether it said I am safe and well or something like that. You probably know more about that than I do, but she knew that something had gone wrong. But when I got home, she wasn't in. I mean, she wasn't expecting me then. And I went next door, and the lady asked me in, and I was sitting by the fire, and I just broke down and cried. That was, I don't know, I feel that feeling now, you know, that I suppose it was one of thankfulness that I was still alive, you know. That was the only time that it affected me. I did, after a few days, contract what turned out to be bronchitis. And I went to one of our local doctors, and he gave me some Jollop to clear this up. I was on a fortnight's leave, I remember when the survivor's leave was up, I went back to Chatham, and I don't know where I had to report, but report I did, and I was whisked away to see the medical officer. And it turned out that the doctor that I'd seen at home was in fact a services doctor, and he'd reported back to Chatham, and they sent me on another week's survivor's leave. I can remember medical officer that I saw at Chatham, he said, "How long had you been staying in?" I can't remember now, I said a week. And he said, "Right, well, you can go back home for a week," which I did do.
And at the end of that 3 weeks, then, how did you feel?
Oh, I felt perfectly okay again. I mean, I can't say that I felt, anything other than normal. It was just one or two little episodes, particularly when I broke down at home, or in my neighbour's house. But I apart from that, it was... No, I can't honestly remember feeling anything other than normal.
Now, you seem to have been made an able seaman while you were at Chatham. Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, I don't.
So the next...
I think it was my age, any rate. I was automatic, I presume, I don't know, because I must have thought I was 18 then.
It's January, yeah, it says, 45.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, I was 18 in the previous August.
Okay, now what about the next ship you got? That was HMS Carnation.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. That was in March.
Corvette, yeah.
How did you feel about getting a new posting?
Well, I mean, I expected to get one. I mean, we were still at war. I probably didn't even think of that, but... it never worried me. I expected to be drafted again.
And you were drafted, were you a radar again?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were, was 271, the set on that. Well, I think it was on most of those Corvettes.
Now, what do you remember of, can you describe HMS Carnation and what you thought of as a Corvette?
Compared to the Bullen, it was wasn't a dirty ship, but it was, bit of a rust bucket. the Bullen was always a smart ship, I always thought, but the Carnation wasn't. We used to, I did a lot of chipping and painting on that ship. I do remember that when I wasn't on watch, but I can't. I can't really remember a great deal about that. I worked a lot of the time in when I wasn't on watch. I worked a lot of the time in the office.
In the ship's office.
In the ship's office.
What were you doing there?
I used to do a lot of filing. Putting Queen's regulations and things in their correct order and all that sort of thing. I remember that the paperwork was in a terrible state, and I like to think that I managed to get it all straightened out.
Was there anybody else in the ship's office, or just
no,
you?
No, just me.
And what was HMS Carnation doing? Where was she operating from, and what sort of duties was she?
I honestly can't remember now. We spent an awful lot of time in Scotland, but then we did when I was on the Oxlip as well.
Is that based where in Scotland? Or do you not remember?
Well, at the end of the war, I must have been on the Carnation then.
You were, yeah.
We were based in Campbelltown. Doing ASDIC and radar work.
Where?
In the Clyde.
That's where you were operating, in the Clyde?
Yeah, yeah. We did go to other parts. I must confess, I can't remember exactly what other jobs we did, but what does stick in my mind is the fact that we operated out of Campbelltown, and we used to... most of it was ASDIC work, looking, but there was always a submarine there, and we used to have to go out and find her with the ASDIC.
Not an exercise, a U-boat?
Oh, no, it was an exercise. They weren't...
You weren't in actual action then?
No. Oh, crikey, no, they were one of our own submarines, I think it was just a training situation.
Do you remember the day, the VE day?
No, the only thing that sticks out in my mind, that VE day, was I met my brother, who was also in the Navy. I met him in a pub in Campbelltown, because they were up. He was the ship that he was on was up there at that time.
Was there much of a celebration between you and your brother?
Oh, yeah, there was a celebration. Yeah, in this pub. But I can't, it doesn't...
How did you feel? I mean, you know, the war was over. Well, part of the war was over. I mean, you'd survived it. How did you... You'd been close, but you'd survived.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
I don't think I felt any different, quite honestly. Not really.
Now, it wasn't long after that, in June, that you went to the Oxlip. How did that happen, and what was your posting aboard the Oxlip?
Well, I was still on radar, and we were still in Campbelltown. I do recall that very often... had on board officers who had been prisoners of war, and they'd come back to this country and were given shown the ropes. There was one particular officer who wanted to see the radar, and he came into this the cabin. It was a tiny thing on the Corvette, and I remember he came in and he had four rings on his arm, and he was one of the most charming men that I'd ever met. And it turned out he was one of the officers that had, was in the sinking of, the German pocket battleship in the Norwegian fjord. I can't remember the
Tirpitz.
Name. Tirpitz, yeah. He was involved in that, but there again, that's only hearsay. But he certainly was a captain, and he'd certainly just come back from Germany, where he'd been a prisoner of war.
And what else were you doing aboard the Oxlip?
Well, I don't really know. It's...
You were there about 4 months till October.
Yeah. I don't honestly recall. As I say, most of the time we were out most of the day out of Campbelltown.
Training?
Yeah.
Did you see any point to training at that time?
Well, not so far as I was concerned, no. But it was... there was always this submarine, whether they had people training on that, which I think they must have, but I don't actually know a great deal about that. I know that we used to go out of a morning and come back in the late afternoon, you know. And I remember one day we lost the sub, and I was on the radar that day, and there was another ship with us, and I kept telling the officer that I thought this sub was lying alongside this ship, and he said it was impossible, and I kept on about this, and in the end it turned out that I was right. It was, you know, and because the radar was, it wasn't just a direction finder. They weren't new sets, not by any means, on the Corvettes, but they were pretty good, I managed to find our way back in a very, very thick fog in the Clyde. I managed to find our way back with the radar through just a very small gap, you know, the entrance to the harbour at Campbelltown. That's another thing that... Well, I was quite proud of that, actually, that I was able to do that, because there's always a certain amount of leeway that you had to give, you know, I mean, allow for, but we were virtually through this entrance before they could actually see the sides of the land, you know.
It was that bad?
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible.